book of Daniel, chapter 10. And I want you to keep your Bibles open there for a few minutes, because I'm going to have you to turn to two or three more verses of Scripture in just a few minutes. I don't usually do that a lot, but I'm going to ask you to this morning. I want you to see these things. I was asking the Lord and praying and asking Him what we needed, as our church needed, since we're in this revival meeting services in the next few days. And I've seen, I'm in here all the time. I've been here since this thing started. And I can tell we've always been blessed. Our church has always been blessed. There's a lot of churches that look at us, our church, and say, man, you don't need a revival. You're staying revival. But we know that's not true, don't we? I mean, we know we usually got some that's on fire. And some it ain't, and some it's backslid, and some... Thank God there's always some little bunch getting it from somewhere. And I praise the Lord for that. But the truth is, we all get times when we're not as... We don't have the burden, we don't have the desire, we don't have... We just know we're not where we really need to be from God, or with God. And I know that in the last two or three weeks, we've seen... A kind of a fluttering and a stirring in our church. You don't have to have revival services to have revival. In other words, you don't have to wait, oh boy, I can't wait till our revival starts. Or you should already have a revival started in your heart. The evangelists don't bring a revival, you know that. The Lord sends revival. And it's not no more a miracle than grass coming up. You plant it, you water it, you break up the fallow ground, and God brings it up. He said, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. And so in Daniel 10 this morning, there's a verse. It's verse 10. By the way, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says this, and I want you to keep your Bibles open. And behold, turn down just a little bit, please. And behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. Oh, Daniel had been praying and seeking God. And he said there in verse 10, a hand touched me. He said, boy, while I was praying and seeking God, the Lord touched me. And the Lord put me right up on my palms of my hands and my knees. I want to preach to you. This morning for a few minutes on the subject, the touch of Jesus. The touch of Jesus. I want to say first of all this morning, when the Lord touches you, it's a cleansing touch. Look in your Bibles this morning at Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, I'm glad one day that I found out what this means, the cleansing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 3. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3. A great verse of Scripture showing us here in Matthew 8 and 3. The Bible says that Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know that leprosy in the Bible is a type of what? Somebody tell me. Sin. All the way through the Word of God, leprosy is a picture of sin. This man came to the Lord, and the Lord touched him and healed him of his leprosy. Now, I don't hope nobody in here misunderstands me this morning. I don't think you will, but just to make sure you don't. When I talk about the Lord touching us, you understand that I'm not talking about physically, a physical hand actually coming in this building and touching our face. You understand that, I hope. I'm not talking about that. Now, the Lord touched this man here as a leper and healed him of his leprosy. But that is a picture of what I'm preaching to us this morning. We need that cleansing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a physical touch. I mean, he don't like put his finger right there on our face. Nor is it the touch of the preacher. It's not one of these Benny Hinny kind of things, where you know somebody, where the guy comes in like this, and Brother Hinny or whatever, however you say it, he turns around and goes whoo and knocks a bunch of people down. Not that kind of touch. I saw somewhere. I don't know what this fellow was. He's a hypnotist or something. And he was going like that, and he go, whoo, and all these people just go out like that. I don't know if it was really going out or they was paying them to do it or what. But all of these preachers, you know, touch people and knocks them in the head, you know. It'd be like if I went down through here this morning and went, tink, 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 and all these guys just fell out on the floor. You'd think something weird about that, wouldn't you? You would think, now they had that plan before the service. You know something fishy about somebody that acts like that. I ain't talking about that kind of touch. I'm not talking about that kind of touch. I'm talking about when the Lord touches you. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's obvious it's never happened to you. One thing about it, brother, when He touches you, you'll know you've been touched. I'll never forget the night, Nebo Baptist Church, 18 years old, lost and on my road to hell. That night I came in that church in April. Coming up, I got an anniversary coming up, or birthday coming up. I was standing there and had on an old pair of blue jeans and had a flag on them right here. I was standing there and had on a little white knit shirt. My hair was way down here around my shoulders like this. And I stood there that night. That night there were some people up singing. That night God started moving in that service. That night, I felt like the Lord just kind of touched me. There's a girl up in front of me turned around and she said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? I looked at her and I said, no, it's not my time to get saved. Let these other people get saved. I'm not ready for that. Boy, within about 5 minutes, I was ready. Something happened. Jesus passed by. Brother, He touched me. And I got cleansed that night. It felt just like I had a bath on the inside. It felt like somebody, you ever took a glove or something and just turned it inside out? It felt like somebody just turned me inside out and just took a scrub brush and just scrubbed me down and just washed me, you know, and then sprayed it off. I laid at the altar for 45 minutes. It didn't take God that long to save me, but it just took me that long to get all that old junk and I mean, it felt so good I didn't want to get up, really. And I tell you what, brother, God done a work in my heart. It was a cleansing touch. People are not educated out of sin, people. You're not rehabilitated out of sin. We think if we rehabilitate men and change their environment and put them in a nice condominium and give them a job, that it'll change. I remember one time I was going somewhere and I saw a cleaner, like a holiday cleaner, one of the cleaners uptown. And these people were Christians, evidently, that run this place. And they had a sign out front, like we got out there, you can change the letters on. And it said this, you know, bring all your laundry in and get it clean. And on the sign it said, only the blood of Jesus can cleanse the stain of sin. Boy, I never forgot that. I got to thinking about stuff, you know, say that's your shirt and you get some blood on it, or you get some dirt on it, or you get some spill some red Kool-Aid, man. You fill it on there, and well, you can put it in the washer, and it won't come out. You can send it to the cleaners, and it won't come out. And sometimes them old hard-to-reach stain, the only thing that'll get them, I mean, is just Clorox or something. And boy, you just have to burn it out of there. I got to thinking about that. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm glad, thank God, that at that cleansing touch of the Lord. It's not something that we do for Him. It's something that He does for us. It's not, you don't just start trying to be a Christian. You become one just like that. Immediately, on the spot, you're born again. I'm glad for that cleansing touch of the Lord. Let me show you another place in the Bible. Same chapter, Matthew chapter 8. And we see it's a cooling touch. When the Lord touches, it's a cooling touch. That's what we need in a revival meeting. We need sometimes a cooling touch. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Now notice in verse 14 that Peter's wife's mother had a fever. She was laying there dying with a fever, maybe 103, maybe 104, maybe 105. And Peter came to the Lord and he said, Lord, my mother-in-law is got a fever. She's going to die. You're going to have to come and touch her. Oh boy, the spiritual truths you glean from that scripture. Number one, you glean that Peter was not a pope. The Catholic Church claims Peter was a pope. He wasn't. If he's a pope, he is a sorry pope as some of the other ones they've had. I mean, he was married. He had a mother-in-law. You can't have a mother-in-law unless you get married. They say the penalty for bigamy, man, is you get two mother-in-laws. And did you know what Peter said? He said, yeah, you got to help my mother-in-law. Said she's got a fever. You've got to come and touch her. And the Lord went over there. By the way, you know Peter was saved and loved God too, or he'd have just let her die, wouldn't he? But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Well, he just said, well, hope she gets better. I'm going to work. But he didn't do that. He said, my mother-in-law needs the touch of Jesus. My mother-in-law needs the Lord. And boy, Jesus come over to where that woman was. He touched her and it cooled her down right then. You know what that means? That means sometimes you and I, especially you married people in here, you that are husbands and wives, don't it get kind of heated around your house every once in a while? Don't you start to argue? Do you in here ever fuss and fight, put it bluntly? Don't look down now. Don't look down. We're not praying yet. I will tell you when it's time to pray. Up here. Now, you know as well as I know that there's married couples sitting in here this morning. You've not spoken a nice word in days, some of you in weeks. It's just, you'll shut up. I don't care. I don't just do what you want to. Who are you going to cook? No, I ain't. You don't deserve it. I don't want nothing anyway. Probably poison me. Blah, 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 blah. You know what you need? You need the touch of Jesus in your home. It's a cooling touch. It'll cool you hot-headed daddies off a little bit. Amen? I feel sorry for some of these little old kids that's got these backslid mamas and daddies. Kid can't open up. You shut up, I'll smack you. I think sometimes mom and daddy needs a good trip to the altar before they ever start disciplining their kids. And let just cool down a little bit, man. Now, you know what's wrong? You know what? You ain't got a marriage problem one that could be solved with a touch of Jesus. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if the Lord just come by this morning or tonight or in one of these revival services and you said, Lord, I need that cooling touch. And the Lord, listen, if God gets a hold of both husband and wife, are you listening to me? If God gets a hold of both husband and wife, you don't have no problem that you can't get over. You may not always agree. You may not see eye to eye. It may not be a perfect marriage, but by the grace of God, you can make it with a touch of Jesus. Anybody can get along with a touch of Jesus. It'll soften you right up. You men only say, well, maybe I don't need to be that stubborn. Maybe I need to give in, honey. Oh, that's all right, honey. See, that's what'll make you. See, before it's, I ain't giving in. I'm sick of giving in. It's his fault always anyway. The Lord touches you just right. You're saying, honey, I'm sorry. You need to eat a little bit. Your afro don't look too hot neither. But it, look. Oh, darling, I didn't mean it. I'll try hard. That's what the touch of Jesus. Did you hear about that guy that's so selfish? He was so selfish, like some of you men are here this morning. He was so selfish, they want a trip for two to Hawaii, and he went twice. That reminds me of some married men. Amen? Lord, have mercy, man. You get your heart right with Jesus, you won't treat your wife like that. You say, oh, I tell you what, I don't know. She ain't much. Well, you know, she must have been something pretty good or you wouldn't have chased her around and fast-talked her into marrying you. You lied when you did that about half that stuff you told her. You need the cooling touch. He'll heal those emotions. He'll make things right. He'll patch things up. You know what's one of the sweetest sights you'll ever see in church? Is when husbands and wives grab hands and come to the altar and get down and shed tears and get up and hug and say, honey, I want to renew our vows. I want to be close to you. I want to stay right. The way to make your marriage a success for the glory of God and stay together in the 1990s, brother, is to keep the touch of Jesus on your home. Let me show you another one right quickly. Right quickly. Matthew chapter 20. Flip on over to Matthew chapter 20 and we see that it's a compassionate touch. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, it's a compassionate touch. Look at Matthew 20 and verse 34. These were blind men come to the Lord. They were pitiful. They needed help. They needed somebody to feel sorry for them. Bible said in verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Hallelujah. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. Thank God this morning when the Lord touches us, it's a compassionate touch. I'm glad the Bible said He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm glad He feels our weaknesses. Ain't you glad that God don't just sit up there on heaven and say, ah, come on, straighten up, you human beings. You can do better than that. No, He feels what we feel. He hurts like we hurt. It bothers Him when we're bothered. He's upset when we get upset. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Whatever problem you're going through this morning, the Lord understands that. He wants to have compassion. He wants to help you. I'll bet you there's somebody in here this morning, you've been trying to do right and you mess up. You've been trying to do right and you mess up. You've been trying to do right and you mess up. You know what the devil will tell you? The devil will tell you, God's tired of fooling with you. God don't want nothing to do with you no more. God's going to mark you off His list. God's all through with your life. God's never going to bless you again. I'm telling you that's not true. If you seek Him, you live for God, you try to do right, God will bless you. He has compassion on you. He knows your flesh. He knows what you're made out of. And He wants to help you this morning. He feels for you. He feels for you. It's a compassionate. Not only that, number four, look at Matthew 17. It's a consoling touch. What does that mean? It means He consoles you, like consolation. That's what that word comes from, consolation. Matthew 17:7. And I'll give you a couple more and I'm going to be through right quick. Matthew 17:7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. You see, they were scared up there in verse 4 and 5 and 6, or didn't know what to do. Verse 6 said when the disciples heard it in verse 6, they fell on their face and were afraid. You ever get afraid? Do you ever think, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Oh Lord, I'm never going to make it. Lord, I can't pay my bills. Lord, I can't. You know what you need this week? You need Him to touch you. Just console you. Listen, people, the Lord ain't gone out of business. Is He still on the throne? I mean, is God still there? Did He take care of you last year? See, some of you, I mean, I'm used to worry about 93. How are we going to make it through 93? We made it somehow. We made it through 94 somehow. You think, but Brother Danny, we've never faced this before. No, we haven't. But God took care of us in 93, 92, 91, 90, 89. I never did think we'd be here this long. But we are, and God's still here. You know what I'm learning the older I get, I'm learning more and more and more. God's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. Sometimes you just need the Lord to touch you and say, everything's all right. Boy, they were afraid. They thought, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Everything's going to pieces. We don't know what to do. And the Lord came out and just touched them and said, be not afraid. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if some of you this week would get on around this altar and say, touch me again, Lord. And the Lord just get on you and say, be not afraid. I'm still running the show. It's going to be all right. Sometimes you get to worrying about the world situation and you think, Lord have mercy. People saying, 30 years from now, there ain't going to be no churches on fire for God. They said that 30 years ago. They did. They said that 30 years ago. God's raised up churches all over this country. You know what I'm convinced of this morning? I am convinced that until the rapture, God's going to have churches that are preaching, people that are standing for Him. He always has. He always has. People say, oh, what are we going to do? Everybody's going to quit church. No, they ain't. No, they ain't. I promise you. I promise you. Everybody ain't going to quit. You say, well, what's going to happen? The whole little preacher's dog. God will raise up some young ones. He always has. You don't have to worry about God. He's on the throne. We need that consoling touch from the Lord. Calm us down a little bit and say, hey, quit your worrying. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Lastly, some of you here this morning may need this life-giving touch. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, this will be the last verse. Look at it quickly. Luke chapter 7 and verse 14. Here's a young man who was dead. The Lord came and touched his coffin there, the box they was going to bury him in. The Bible said there in verse number 14, he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. You know what that means? That means the Lord is still in business of touching lost souls and giving them life. What a blessing. You know, a lot of people say, well, Brother Danny, I remember back in the old days when we could bring our loved ones to revival and they'd get saved. You can still bring loved ones to revival and they'd get saved. Still, I've seen it happen this week. I've seen one of the most amazing things happen up there in New York this week. It's just unreal. Those young people, they're hungry. They're flocking in there. And then I got to thinking that one of the great revivals of American history happened in Rochester, New York. Charles Finney preached in that part of the country, and God moved back in over 100 years ago. And this may be just a little carryover from that. I don't know. Some grandma's prayers. I don't know. But I know one thing. It's not too late to bring your loved ones to the Lord and let Him touch them. This would be a great opportunity. You know, a lot of times you try to get people to come to church, they'll say, I can't come over there. That church is too full. There's never nowhere to sit. There's never nowhere to park. That ought to tell you something good right there, man. That's a good sign. If you go to a restaurant, man, and there's 50 people standing outside can't even get in, and there's one across the road that's got people standing out there doing like this, which one you going to want to eat at? People say, well, they ain't never know where to sit. This is a good change. We're not going to have 50 million Yankees and people from everywhere else and stuff like that. We're just going, listen, you can bring your loved ones in here. You can pray for them in the old-fashioned way and pray and fast and watch Jesus touch them. Give them life. People say, well, Brother Danny, people just don't get saved no more. You just ain't been around lately. We've seen about, I don't know how many people's got saved in the last 2 weeks. I don't know how many people. A bunch of them. I didn't keep count. I wish I had, but God's moved just in the last 2 weeks right around here. You know, we go through a time where there ain't a lot of people get saved. I start getting worried. I get back down on my knees, start praying. We had them prayer meetings up here. When the church gets ready, you watch people start getting saved right and left. We had two last Sunday morning. We had another one or two last Sunday night. And then Brother John led a lady to the Lord. That's done got out in the community about that lady. They led to the Lord on visitation Thursday morning. The bus workers won at least three or four. It seemed like two or three anyway in the last couple of weeks. Visitation bus route. I mean, getting people saved, man. Getting down on their knees. And the Lord touched them. Give them life. I got to see, I guess some of you heard about what happened to me Monday going up there. We'd been in prayer meeting and good service. By Sunday morning, Sunday night, boy, it just got me all pumped up spiritually. I got on an airplane Monday going to New York. And I had to go to Atlanta. Can you believe that? Go all the way down the south and then go to New York. And I sat there. Everything going to the south goes to Atlanta. Jack Hyle said we'd have to go through Atlanta at the rapture. But anyway, I got on an airplane. It was pretty full, and I'm always looking for three empty seats. Because if there's three empty seats, you know, you raise the things up and you can lay down. And I'm dead tired when I get on them things. I was up late packing and everything. And there wasn't none, so they had three seats like this, one, two, three. I sat down, there's a lady sitting right there. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" and everything. There's a seat here, and she sat over there. I started talking to her, and I just used witness just like I do always on the airplane. I said, "Ma'am, you got both your tickets?" She said, "Huh?" I said, "You got both your tickets." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you need one ticket to get you to New York." I said, "You need another ticket just in case we don't make it to go to heaven." She said, they always look back and say, "Don't talk like that." I said, "Well, you never know, you know. Sometimes I really put it on thick. These things go down every day. I mean, we could be slaughtered. Wouldn't there be nothing but a greasy spot left of us down there? You know that, don't you?" I say, "Shut up, man. I'm scared." She was scared. I could tell she was scared. But, I mean, I didn't want to take advantage of it, so she just sitting there. So I got in the airplane, and I started witnessing to her. Seriously. Well, I was just kidding around there at first, but I started witnessing serious. And the more I talked, the better she listened. And I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Jennifer." And I said, "Jennifer, do you know what the Bible says about being saved?" And I began to talk to her and witness to her, and she started asking questions. And I could tell she is hungry. God put me right there beside her. I know the Lord did that. I mean, it wasn't one of these. I'm not one of these people that believes you can go out on your lunch break, win 15 souls and stuff. I'm talking about when God really getting a hold of somebody. And God doing it, brother. And you know what? I sat down there and talked to her, and I said, "I tell you what, if you want me to, I'll take you and show you what the Bible says about being saved. If you don't, if I'm bugging you or something, I'll leave you some tracks and leave you alone." She said, "No, I want you to." So I scooted over in the next seat beside her where I could show her the scripture, and I sat down and I started going through it with her. She started asking questions. I started going through it with her. She said, "What about this? What about that?" I went from Genesis to Revelation. We talked about the second coming. I told her, I had an hour and a half. So, I mean, it's kind of like when you fish, you know, and you know you got one on the hook. You don't just jerk him out like that, you know. I was saying, especially in deep sea fishing, they reel them babies in slow. That's what I was doing with her. I said, "I'm going to make sure that she's on the hook. We've got an hour and a half, you know." So I started talking to her and talking to her and talking to her. And I said, "Jennifer," I said, "God hates some things." She said, "God hates?" She said, "I don't think God hates nothing." And I said, "Oh yeah, God hates plenty of things." And I showed her in the Bible where it said God hated proud look and all that kind of stuff. And I told her what all that meant. And she said, "Whew." And then we began to talk. And she said, "You're the first preacher I've ever talked to." She said, "I've seen priests and stuff." See, it ain't like it is here in New York, people. Here you shake a tree and four or five preachers will fall out of it. It ain't like that up there. I'm telling you, man, we're eat up with them in this part of the country. But anyway, she looked out the window and I saw a big tear start running down her cheek. I just sat there and I said, "God, if you're dealing with her, give me the wisdom to know how to help her." I saw her start crying and I said, "Jennifer, normally I wouldn't do this. I just witnessed to you. You know, you're 4 miles up in the sky, you know, and there's people and other stuff." I said, "Normally I wouldn't do this, but I said, if you want to, you can get saved right here and right now. Jesus can touch you." She said, "I want to." We bowed her head and prayed. I led her in a prayer. I helped her. She prayed right out of her heart. Oh my soul, man, it got good in there. I was about to shout. When she got through, she just started smiling and wiping tears. She said, "This is great. I love it. This is good like that." And I started going, "Glory to God, hallelujah." Hey boy, in an airplane, man, 4 miles up in the air. What a blessing. Hallelujah, boy. I said, "Well, you're a prayer a little closer to heaven then. You can talk to him." It was good. I come back in this morning, they told me, there's a man here this morning just got saved this week. You know what all this is a result of? The church getting right. Church getting right, sinners start getting saved. If you go to a church where nobody don't never get saved, something wrong. Something wrong. Man here this morning got saved this week. They got the rock video out of the bookstore one day this week. Took it home, watched it, and got some other videos, and that man got saved. He's sitting right back there. Raise your hand back there, Brother Trump. Raise your hand. I read a little higher so they can see you. He just got saved this week, and his wife rededicated her life. Isn't that a blessing? You know what that is? Hey, I wasn't even here. I don't know who told him to get that video. I don't know. That's God working. He's still in the life-giving touch business. If I didn't believe that Jesus Christ still touched people and give them life now, there wouldn't be no use preaching. But I believe He still can touch you and give you a new life. I don't see the Lord doing nothing no more, preacher. Well, you better get with the crowd where He is doing something. It might be you, you know. You need a touch. Parker family, y'all come. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Maybe there's husbands and wives here this morning that need a cooling touch. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who's never been saved. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You need a life-giving touch. If you don't know for a fact that you're saved, maybe there's Christians here this morning, you'd say, Lord, I need a fresh touch. Oh God, do something in our hearts. Lord, do something that's real. We don't care about nothing that's just emotions or pumped up in the flesh, Lord, or something that won't last. God, we want You to do something real in our souls. Lord, bless this invitation this morning and answer the prayer of this song. Touch us again. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
Touch me again.
You need a fresh touch. You need a touch. Have you lost your burden? Are you making excuses why you don't do nothing for God? Get that fresh touch. Young people, mamas and daddies, come. Come on, come on, let's pray. Come on, just get any seat and let's pray. Amen. 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 Come and get a fresh touch this morning. Come on.
Touch me again.
There you go.
Touch me hey. Again, hey. Lord, let the man.
That's what we need. Desire back to serve God. Make it joyful again.
Let the heavens
amen.
Descend and touch me again, Lord.
Amen.
Touch me again.
All right. Come on now, sing it out.
Touch me again, Lord. Touch me amen. Again, Lord.
What we need.
Oh,
woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Come on, ladies.
You already
God's speaking to your heart.
So I ask You to touch me.
God's
again.
Speaking to your heart. That second one again. Come on.
Touch me again.
Amen. Thank the
Lord. Let me feel that fountain.
Amen.
Come, Lord.
the Lord. Touch me. Touch me, Lord. All right. You need to come. Come on now while they sing.
Touch me again.
Yeah, glory to God.
Touch me again, Lord. Let the manna fall from on high.
Yeah, amen.
Wherever
amen.
I'm going,
amen.
You've already.
That's right. That's right.
So
boy, I want him to touch me again.
Touch me,
I need a fresh touch. I want him to work in my heart.
Me again,
set me on
Lord,
fire, Jesus.
Let the manna.
Hey,